Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer, Al Cole, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. I come from CBS Radio. My shows are nationally syndicated, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys, too, with the dignity that they deserve. And I do that through my show, People of Distinction, aired on really dignified networks, including the biggest airing CBS shows, and that's Apple's iTunes Radio Network, under their professional news talk division, airing CBS shows, Fox News, NPR, BBC, C-SPAN, best talk in the country around the world, on Apple's iTunes Radio Network under news talk. And you can visit my website for more. My website is peopleofdistinction.org. And you can see my alliances nationally with people like Arianna Huffington, the founder of the Huffington Post. Read up on my national awards events, the People of Distinction Humanitarian Awards. And they're in New York and Capitol Hill with members of the U.S. Congress. And you can also read up on the things that I do with major media consulting, helping people, hundreds of them actually, to interview to their finest in order to be entrepreneurial, sell books, and sell other things that they're involved with creatively, with products and services. Yeah, entrepreneurs, we should all be that. And if you like where it's coming from, well, hey, I want you to email me as well. Email me at alcoleholic@gmail.com. You heard me right. That's alcoleholic@gmail.com. And I really want to thank my CBS radio listeners for coming up with that handle, Alcoleholic. Seems like from day one, my listeners have been saying, Al, we love what you're doing there, brother. In fact, we're hooked on it. We're Alcoleholics. And I'm also a New York Times bestselling author with Chicken Soup for the Soul. Chicken Soup for the Soul is distributed by CBS's Simon & Schuster, so we keep it in the family that way. Coming up, a guy named Paul Dalzell, and Paul's a really interesting guy. You know, he's written a book that has a gripping title to it, The Friends of Eddie Relish. So who's Eddie Relish? We're going to find out from Paul. Eddie is the main character in this book. It's a thriller about loss and redemption. Okay, so redemption, maybe a little bit the Faustian style where, yeah, you know, you're redeemed, but still you got to pay a price. And we're going to find out what that price might be from Paul. Now, Paul, the interesting thing about Paul, he has an English background. I guess he was raised in the UK, and he lived a lot of his adult life in Southeast Asia. And now he lives in Hawaii. Get that. He's international, and we like that on People of Distinction because one of the brands of People of Distinction is that we are all people of distinction just by virtue of our birth. You know, we're born, and now we enter into that beautiful conscious relationship with life that involves love, the things that we love, the things that maybe we can help other people with and serve them in positive directions. And we're talking about everybody, not just limited to the States, but all over the place, all over the wonderful earth. And so Paul has been all around, and he can add to a lot of the edification here with our friends. Yeah, you, our listening audience, through his book, The Friends of Eddie Relish. And I want you to run to his website as well. You can order the book there, and you can learn more about Paul. Go to pauldalzell.com. Dalzell is D-A-L-Z-E-L-L. And the book is available, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And Paul was brought to us by New Age Literary Agency. Yeah, one of the best for moving books. You got a book you got to move. Well, you got to move it through New Age Literary Agency. Contact Ann Rice at New Age Literary Agency. Welcome, Paul, to People of Distinction with Al Cole. It's a pleasure to have you on today. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing very well, and thank you very much for the privilege of being on your show.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it here from many points of view. And the first point of view is, of course, your book, The Friends of Eddie Relish. Later on, we'll be putting a little bit of feature on your upcoming book, He Might Be Still on Mars, which sounds very intriguing in its own right. But for now, The Friends of Eddie Relish. So tell us a little bit about this book and a little bit about Eddie Relish here.
It's got an interesting history. It started with myself and Gerard Radley, who sent me an email one day and said, let's write a book. He said, you do a paragraph, I do a paragraph. And it started out like that, and we went backwards and forwards. And we actually completed a book in about 2001, 2002. We had absolutely no idea of the publishing trade, so we thought it was right. Next step, get an agent. They're going to love us, so no problem. And then we sort of went into the brick wall called reality and found that getting a book published is extremely difficult. So the book sat on a shelf for 20 years, and then there was a good offer going by Author House Publications at a 2-for-1 Christmas special. So I had another book that I was writing at the time, and then I thought, well, let's really dust down Eddie Relish and give it a go. So basically, that's sort of the, if you like, the background to the book itself. The story is, as you said, about loss and redemption. We started out with this character, Eddie Relish, who was a huge teenage film star in Hollywood. And as you well know, a large number of those guys, by the time they're in their mid-20s, lucky if they're scratching a living, delivering pizzas.
Mm-hmm. And, well, keep going. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I must have had, in the back of my memory, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, which is a great book. But Eddie realizes he needs to get away from Hollywood. He comes to England thinking he can have a fresh start. And all the bad news that that followed him in Hollywood came across the pond. He ends up basically as a petty criminal, pursued by an aging policeman in his little London borough of Knockney, which is fictional, but is based upon some of the very what we call loony left boroughs and councils, which are not just in London but also other parts of England. And long story short, he's made to become a drug mule, and the proprietress of a Hollywood nightclub that he knew in his Hollywood days rescues him, reveals to him that she's actually a front, her nightclub, the Lucky Lotus, is a front for a Chinese intelligence gathering operation, and that she will restore the luster to his star, but in return has to undertake missions or just do stuff that she tells him to do with respect to intelligence gathering. And his first task actually is very easy. It's to become famous again, which he does using, with Cynthia Sin, Madam Sin, manipulating the media and giving Eddie all kinds of information about the folks in Hollywood, which the shady side of their lives, which can be used for leverage.
Mm-hmm. Leverage, in other words, for blackmail.
Well, I wanted to put a more positive spin on it, but you're right. Yes,
that's
precisely
right. And it sounds like Eddie is cutting a deal with the devil, at least metaphorically here. And we know that it's a tough life in the entertainment business, and sometimes we do have to resort on alternatives. Eddie resorts on the alternative of, as you said, petty crime, and that ends up in some loss for him and need for redemption. So this is this is certainly a book that gets deep into somebody's life. I like it. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, there's another character in the book called Abdul Mabul, who is from Albania. And he was a ferociously conscientious communist until the country collapsed. And he regains his Muslim faith and becomes an Islamic terrorist, but for a very, very small organization, which has as its sort of key core belief that the further you are away from the deserts of Arabia, the less you the more they look down on you, and for them the ultimate shibboleth, or what's the word I'm looking for, their ultimate sort of people they dislike the most are Eskimos. It's not only a thriller, but it has some comedy in there. When we came to write about Islamism in the book, we thought, well, let's just make it totally extreme. Not wanting to sort of upset anybody too much. And this guy, Eddie meets this guy just by chance on the River Seine on a weekend break. And Madbul is getting money by drawing portraits, which is something which he'd learned in his spying days. And so Eddie's seen his face. There's no recent photographs of this guy. No one really knows what he looks like, but Eddie does. And Madbul realizes this and sort of pursues him across the world. And at the same time, Eddie was going to be a drug mule for a Bible-quoting gangster called the Reverend Bill. And all of those threads come neatly together in Las Vegas. It sounds like there's like it's a lot of very loose threads, like the side of a tapestry or something. But it is. There's lots of little story arcs in there. But we unite them in Las Vegas, where Eddie is now back on his ascent path, essentially.
Whoa. You must have had a lot of fun writing this because it's very descriptive. And you, my listening audience, you're going to have a lot of fun reading it, too. The Friends of Eddie Relish, as written by our special guest here today, Paul Dalzell, and he's running it down here, Book of Loss and Redemption, and it's a thriller, as he's describing right now. Eddie, you know, coming from a Hollywood background, wanting to make it, and then he finally does in the book, after having sold his soul to the devil. All right, I'm putting it my way, but now you're really getting it. This is something that that you should order, people. Great entertainment, and it could get very deep in the, maybe, possibly, the exploratory, maybe even spiritual area with redemption. Go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can order this book. And particularly, go to Paul's website, pauldalzell.com, and you can order it there and learn more about Paul's exciting past and the things that he's doing right now that are very exciting too. So let's turn a few more pages in the book, The Friends of Eddie Relish, Paul. And before we do, I'm going to reflect on something here. Now, offline, before the interview, you said that, the book has a little bit to do with the rise of China. You mentioned China earlier in the interview. Mm-hmm. And also Islamic culture. Now, those are two aspects that are very, very much in the news these days and have been for a while. China, Islam. Did you mean it to be, you know, contemporaneous that way and really exciting that way? Or is it just, you know, happenstance?
it's happenstance. I mean, 20 years ago, China was just putting its foot flat on the throttle with its economy. Islamism had arisen, I think, out of the interventions in the Gulf War and Afghanistan, and of course the ongoing issue of Palestine. But we never, 20 years ago, we didn't predict that China would manage what it sees as its Muslim problem mm-hmm. by internment and re-education, almost sort of, you know, going back to the days when it used to do this with its own people. And actually, of course, the Muslims are their people, but they're just not the people that they want them to be. Other things in the book, which, you know, we shake our heads sometimes when we realize we wrote about something, and guess what? It came true. Mm. There's a very grisly little chapter where we find that a couple are abducting and killing young kids and selling that as bushmeat in markets in London. Mm. There's another incident where a guy falls, where the Reverend Bill falls from a tower, his hotel balcony, lands on an awning over the door of the hotel, and then bounces onto a car and manages to survive. And a few years ago, I read that exact sequence of events happened to a guy in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I have the gift of foresight, but, you know, even the most outlandish plots sometimes have a way of actually coalescing in reality.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And you do have some sort of gift here as well, though. Even if it isn't the gift of foresight, it's the gift of experience. And sometimes they correlate. You've been, I would assume, all around this planet, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, the Eastern Hemisphere. Now you're in the U.S., in very different area of the U.S., Hawaii. You've seen a lot of cultural changes, and you've been involved in some of these changes as well. And that makes you a prognosticator of types because of experience. Experience is a great teacher, and we can look forward to the future when we understand our present and we understand a whole bunch of people that we've met and contributing to our education with humanity. So that seems to be a part of it as well. When you wrote this book, you didn't, I wouldn't think that you just relied on, you know, science fiction or something or just a good storyline and developing that way. You were, at least subconsciously, if not actually consciously, using a little bit of your knowledge of some people that you knew at the time. Maybe some of the events that were going on that other people really didn't know, that maybe the everyday public didn't know some of these things, but you're living in Southeast Asia and coming from the UK and everything. Maybe you were privy to special information here, Paul, that my listeners might want to know about. Did you have some special information when you wrote this, Paul?
And I also have to shout out for Gerard Radley here. You know, it's a pen name. He's a guy in the financial world, and he brought a massive amount of information with him on metal trading, because that's uh-huh. still a very it's. If you ever want to see what stock markets used to look like in the past, go and watch the London Metal Exchange just on YouTube. It's amazing. It's incredible. Also, too, when I was 21, I was working on Japanese fishing boats, pole and lining for skipjack, and sleeping. You know, you put your head on your rubber flip flops and go to sleep on the deck if necessary. I don't know how many times I've been chased out of the water by sharks.
Whoa.
My wife is from Papua New Guinea, and her experience and help were very useful for another of my books, Pax Britannica, The Golden Anvil. In fact, she and a lot of her relatives ended up in that book as well. But I think the other thing too is I'm always very curious about things and the connections between things. You know, the world isn't a series of isolated spots with things just happening internally. Those internal events also have a massive external influence. Mm-hmm. I could illustrate that with just one story. We all know about the coronavirus. We know the economies in most places are depressed. But, you know, it's even hitting people like South African fishermen whose lobster catch, 90% of their lobster catch went to China. So the Chinese market's sort of being closed, 12,000 miles away, has an influence on people at the tip of the African continent. Things like that continue to always intrigue me and interest me.
You know, I get it. And the interesting, one of the very interesting things about what you just said, pertaining to The Friends of Eddie Relish, your current book, I think might pertain to the upcoming book as well. He might be still on Mars, because as you were describing some of your ventures and adventures in life and New Guinea and also Japan and here and there, you know, places that the everyday American will never see up close. They hear about, they might read about, but they don't experience it in the real sense of the word. You have experienced that. And I got the sense when you were talking that maybe you were a little bit out of this world, Paul, that maybe you even had extraterrestrial experiences. Now, that's what I got out of what you were saying. And it might be apropos, because you got another book out. He might still be on Mars. Now you're talking about literally out of this world. What's the relationship here? Going from one book to the other, we'll put a little focus on your upcoming book, He Might Be Still on Mars. Is it something that is an interesting aspect of your imagination, or maybe even your experience, that there might be certain things happening on other planets that this planet should know about? Tell us a little bit about this by way of your upcoming book as well.
Well, it was a great series of programs, and I actually keep them on my cable box. On the Planets by Nova on PBS. And that got me thinking, particularly the program about Mars. And so I thought, well, anything I write about the future is going to be sort of categorized as science fiction, even though I really don't think it is. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explore sort of relationships, you know, the idea that people might have relationships with an android or a synthetic human being, which, if you remember, in Blade Runner, was also a very central core to that movie. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, are we talking just androids, or are we going to talk about cyborgs? Well, let's have both. And again, it's story of a guy who's actually is a descendant of one of the characters in my two early vampire novels, who are given a task to go and apprehend the husband of a very senior politician in China. He appears to have absconded, and in fact, the whole thing is a front, because they're hoping that that Eddie and his synth partner, Sandy, will eliminate the most serious pirate effect. A guy called, crikey, what is he called now? Not Bill Blake. To go out and take this guy out. And they eventually realize that the sort of chase to find the lady's husband is just a front. Wilson Black. So they go. You know, basically, the sort of second half of the book is all about trying to take out Wilson Black. Now he's got myostatin syndrome, also called double muscle syndrome. So he looks kind of like the Incredible Hulk, and he's a very nasty, vicious pirate. He raids the places like the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, because these have been settled and they're being terraformed. In the book, Mars is partially terraformed to the point where you can breathe the atmosphere, and again also. It highlights the importance of some of the moons. I think it's Titan, which is a Jovian moon. Is it a Saturn moon or a Jovian moon? I can't remember. But it's chock full of hydrocarbons. So it could be the gas tank of the solar system. And along the way, our character, Owen Bone, ends up in a diamond mine in what was Sierra Leone, and later the synth Sandy suffers a most terrible injury, and is luckily she's able to be brought back online. But you know, we have it has things which I think will happen in the future: space elevators, where you have orbital tethers to satellites. So you can move things up and down. We do know now that gravity is propagated by waves, and I think ultimately we'll find a way to negate the property of gravity and be able to lift things very easily without into space without rockets. I also think that I was talking about the thing there. I think we'll see, really see China beginning to dominate the world. And this is set in the future in 2586. And there's a discussion about, are synths locked or not locked to a particular institution or person? And also tread some of the ground that they had in Blade Runner, which is the property of emotions having an influence on self-identity and behavior. So there's an awful lot going on in the book, but it's basically a love story and a love story with a bounty hunt.
Wow. Look at that. What a rundown. Hey, we love that on People of Distinction. Two books there. The Friends of Eddie Relish. That's by Paul Dalzell and his partner. And also the upcoming book, He Might Be Still on Mars. And you got to order them both. The upcoming book, of course, you can't order yet. But when it's there, it'll be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, just like The Friends of Eddie Relish. And, Paul, this has really been exciting. You gave the impression to me, maybe my listeners as well, that Eddie Relish is also a character in He Might Be Still on Mars. Is that right?
No. Eddie Relish takes place in the present day.
Right. Okay.
The Martian story is 600 years in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eddie gets around, even lives that long, hundreds of years.
But I did say that the character Owen Bone, who's the bounty hunter, he's a descendant of a guy called Jack Bone, who appeared in the first two books I wrote, The Last Dream Before You Die. I'm confusing your readers here. If they go to my website, they'll see the other books that I've written. For this, as you said earlier, we're focusing on Eddie Relish and He Might Still Be on Mars. There's a lot of interesting tech things that I enjoyed writing about and looking at. Oh yeah, the one that I mentioned, I forgot to mention, was that the whole idea of light speed travel, and this is not space warp travel, but just light speed, in my story, they've managed to get vessels that are just will just surpass the speed of light, and vessels that travel at about a tenth of light speed, which would mean you'd get to Mars in 4 days, not 400 days. And that's something that's there is an aspect of the technology. Plus, I do mention about the potential for true space warp travel, and reference the Mexican scientist Alsupierre, who has postulated that space warp travel might indeed be a reality.
Well, it's chock full of it, people. Imagination, as well as some of the gripping realities around us. Paul Dalzell's The Friends of Eddie Relish. And look for his upcoming book. He might be still on Mars as well. And I will say, go to his website, too. PaulDalzell.com. Should be an exciting place there. And I'm going to cap off the show with a couple of cents of my own here, underscoring the great sense that Paul has been making about both of his books. This goes out to you, my listening audience, people of distinction. You know, one person's imagination could be another person's reality. And Paul is has quite an imagination here that is built on reality in at least part, because of his experiences, as we said earlier in the show, and as you know, my listening audience. Now, even if we're talking about 400 years into the future, sometime in the 25th century, that doesn't mean that the roots of that reality of the 25th century cannot be here in our 21st century, or maybe it was even preceding the 21st century. The 20th century, the 19th, maybe it was always here on planet Earth. Maybe going back to the Bacchaterinians, and nobody seems to know except for me, 1.5 million years ago. And Atlantis and other stimulating places here right on Earth. And maybe imagination is the rediscovery of new realities. We're just rediscovering some of the realities that always were, and we're putting them in the framework of the future. Now, this is an exciting time for our human family. It can be a very treacherous time as well. We know that. The excitement is in something that we couldn't have even imagined 50 years ago, at least not the general populace here on Earth. Couldn't have imagined it, like 30 years ago for most people. The internet. At the speed of light, you could say. Now we correspond to people all over the planet with email and also with websites and podcasts and all of that stuff. It's really quite amazing. And yet, it didn't just happen. It had to be in the making. And some people even think it was in the making maybe on other planets. Alien forces, friendly alien forces that helped the people of the Earth, technicians, to rediscover something here on Earth that was already discovered elsewhere. So pack that in, people, to your imagination, and let your imagination weave into some of the realities. Never limit yourself. You can visualize into the future and bring back whatever that visualization imports back to your present, as a present to your present. And you'll be surprised that when you do that, you become more and more enlightened. You become more and more a citizen of the present time, where you can describe things even in such gripping ways because you have a little bit of the knowledge of what will be. And as we know, what will be. And we talk this way on People of Distinction in a little bit of riddles. And you're going to find that, too, in Paul Dalzell's wonderful books, The Friends of Eddie Relish, and also his upcoming book, He Might Be Still on Mars. And you can order the first book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and run to Paul's website too, pauldalzell.com.
And Paul was brought to us by New Age Literary Agency. Yeah, one of the best for moving books. You got a book you got to move, well, you got to move it through New Age Literary Agency. Contact Ann Rice at New Age Literary Agency.
Thank you so much, Paul, for being my special guest on People of Distinction with Al Cole. We wish you all the best with your books and also your life directions. Thanks again, Paul.
Well, thank you so much for the privilege of appearing on your show, Al. Excellent, really. It was just like sort of a fireside chat, you know. It made me feel very comfortable and very easy to sort of talk about things.